Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hello, happy Friday, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm your co-host, Michelle Pache, and I'm here today with Dr. Tim Hayes. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is October 25th. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Tim. We would love to hear your comments and questions, because then that makes this your show. So now, let's welcome Dr. Tim in the process of learning and practicing forgiveness.
Hello, Michelle. How are you today?
Hi, Tim. You know, while the intro song was playing, I hung up on myself. And so, just scrambling here, I don't know how the intro sounded, but it was seconds in time.
Well, we're here. We're glad you're here. Thank you for supporting us with the switchboard and the chat room. And we're here doing our best to keep the ship afloat while Michael and Jeannie are in Portugal and visiting places like Fatima and Rome and Sweden and Denmark and hobnobbing with Nobel Prize winners and visiting the place of rumored saints and trying to pick up energies and meet people and spread the word about the ancient Aramaic tool, the scientific, the technology, the practical application of forgiveness. And forgiveness in the ancient Aramaic did not mean to focus on anyone else or anything else outside of myself. The ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness understood at a very deep level that every person creates his or her own realities inside their mind, and that when a person is perceiving accurately from his or her senses the world around them, they experience the world in its true nature, which is the energy of creation and the energy of love, and they experience themselves as deeply connected to that. And therefore, if a person is experiencing anything like what some have called the negative emotions, anger, fear, sadness, tension, hurt, blame, shame, guilt, consternation, fear, vengeance, that's an alarm system that was implanted by the Creator in each of our minds and our bodies to let us know that we're off the mark, that somehow we have chosen with our perceptions the wrong data and created a warning signal for ourselves that we, in our mind and body, hold energy that doesn't belong there. And this is a blessing. This is a gift from the system. We were created in a way that it alerts us when we're making a mistake. And it alerts us not to punish us, it alerts us so that we can take the corrective action that only we can take. Because each and every one of us has the infinite capacity to choose the focus of our conscious awareness in each moment. And the focus of our conscious awareness in each moment literally creates our experience of life in that moment. The ancient Aramaics understood this, and they understood that when the alarm goes off in me and I'm experiencing some form of hostility or fear or resentment or confusion or bitterness or hurt, it's my internal alarm system trying to alert me to the fact that this is a place for me to apply the tool of forgiveness to my own thought, to my own experience in the moment, to the energies within my own mind-body system, to remove, to cancel, to dismantle whatever's there that doesn't belong. And whatever's there that doesn't belong because I put it there in error or because my ancestors have collected this over the generations and it's been passed down to me through energy and genetics, the source of it isn't relevant. In the moment, the process of forgiveness is relevant and powerful. And in the moment that I apply forgiveness as a tool to cancel and dismantle the energies within me that don't belong there, I transform my experience in the moment. And I initiate an integration of energies. And I initiate what some would call healing. And I do it in a way that's powerful, it's deep, it's lasting, and it opens the pathway to make it easier for others to do their work as well. So this is a tool that we're here to introduce people to, and we're here 5 days a week to have this internet show to try and support people who would like to learn these tools and apply them to their own lives. And furthermore, to support people who might want to teach others by either attending a support group or starting their own. And if you're new to this work and you don't quite know what we're talking about yet, you can find out lots more, everything you need to know at www.whyagain.org, whyagain.org. And the title of the website comes from the title of Dr. Rice's book, which is Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And this work's made available for free on his website. You don't even have to give an email address so people can harass you with additional offers. For free on this website, you can download the entire book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? You can also download a wide variety of worksheets that can help you in the process of making your life more loving, more joyous, more creative, more energetic, healthy. And if you're interested in that, click on the link on any of the pages near the top on the left-hand side that says Start Here. That will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Rice's book that outlines this process that I was just describing, the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness. You can also download a seven-step worksheet, which is the most recent version of the worksheet process. And it will step you through this technology of applying the tool of forgiveness to the false realities in your mind. And then you can download six different audio files, and in each one, Dr. Rice or Jeannie is working with someone who called in the internet show and stepping them through the worksheet process. So you have there a library of tools to explain what this forgiveness process is, to explain how to use the reality management worksheet, and living examples of people applying it to real problems in their lives with the support of some master teachers, Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie Rice among them. And if you do that and you put the pen to the paper and you get some results or you get stuck, that's what we're here for. to answer your questions. There aren't any silly questions. There aren't any that are too fundamental. There aren't any bad questions. So we're open at 646-200-4169 for your questions, your comments, your testimonials, your refutations, if you have them, of what we're talking about. If you don't understand how any of this could be true, if you don't understand, or if you have a whole different experience of life and you want to tell us how what we're talking about is wrong, those comments are welcome as well. And we may not agree. We may have to agree to disagree on something, but we welcome those kinds of comments and questions because it helps us clarify and work even more diligently to observe directly what's going on in our lives, and that's how we learn even more. So what we will share with you if you call in, what we will share with you in our talks, is the current state of our knowledge, to the best of our knowledge. It may change next week, next year, next month. We're always learning and growing. We know at this stage a little bit about what we know, and we have no idea about what we don't know yet. But we're willing to learn because we're trying to approach situations daily with the perspective, with the belief that what we currently know is only partially right or perhaps even completely false. And from that position, we actually create the potential for learning and growing from direct observation, from trial and error, with practical tools in our own lives. So that's what we're here to support, and I'm going to throw it back to Michelle and ask if we have anybody with their hand up or anything going on in the chat room today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We have a couple people with their hands up. We ended our show yesterday with some callers in queue, so I think these might be some of those. Let's start with area code 760. Hi, you're on the air. Who is calling and where are you calling from?
Hi, Michelle. This is Don David, the artist in Palm Springs. How are you?
Got it.
I have a quick, I don't know if Michael's on today, but Dr. Tim could help me. He knows me. I have a like Patricia Gorney has her forgiveness page on Facebook. I have a very popular page that I endorse, wygan.org, on Facebook called Angel Fire Network, which receives 8,000% traffic through there. And I have a question because I work with Roseanne Barr at RoseanneWorld.com. I'm one of a few people she even lets comment on her page. And she was recently in Toronto talking about child abuse and, you know, her diagnosis with NPD, DID like I have. And so she lets me post there a lot. And so I posted a painting I did that is on my timeline, not at Angel Fire Network, but on my homepage, of a painting called My Daddy Beats Me, which was put onto worldwidehippies.com, which went worldwide and got a lot on September 1st of this year, right next to Jerry Garcia and Scooby-Doo. And so I know it's not a horrible, horrible image. So I posted this, and I got some worldwide reaction from other artists in Europe about why did you post that, how could you paint that, and then I have other artists saying, oh, it's fine him to do that taboo thing. He's just trying to get acknowledgement on this taboo subject. He's not, you know, sensationalizing it. But my question to Dr. Tim and Michael, if he's there, is when I endorse Wygan.org on Facebook, whether it's on my homepage or Angel Fire Network, I got a response from when I posted, well, I'm not going to rip open a sketch. This artist, he posted, well, you've unlocked some family post-traumatic stress disorder for me. And I said, well, I'm not going to rip open a scab without offering you a way to heal. So I embedded the Wygan.org website, which drops down to your page. And so he replies, this looks like some Christian cult. What are you trying to drag me into? And I said, no, it's not like that at all. I go there all the time. They've helped me with grief and anxiety and my diagnosis with MPD, DID, and it's not like that. So my question is, since I do endorse you a lot there, because I love you guys, what should I tell people when they react with, oh, this looks like a Christian cult? What do I say to that?
Well, I think the most important response is that, and just as you said, that hasn't been my experience. And then the next statement I would make is simply try the work and see how it works for you.
Yeah, I said, well, you know, I said,
here's the next thing.
You can take it or leave it.
Here's the next thing, Don. And I try to highlight this at the beginning of every show when I'm leading the show.
Yeah.
This is completely free. You don't even have to give an email address to download the worksheet.
Yeah, I heard that this morning. Awesome. Yes.
And that's an important point. I had somebody who's an artist that I met at another networking thing who asked about coming to my group, and he was from a very conservative Christian family background, and he was very leery of it. He'd grown up and expanded his sights, and he had a very difficult time with that conservative Christian cult-like, you've got to follow our rules, you've got to be a member.
Sure.
And when he heard that I was leading a group that met every Tuesday, he groaned, and he said something along the lines of, oh, not one of those. He said, how long do you have to come? And I said, you don't have to come at all. He said, yeah, but when people get there, how long do you want them to agree to come for? I said, they don't have to come at all. And we have people that come once and never come again. We have people that come every other week if they want to, people that come for 3 or 4 months straight and then don't come for a month or so and then come again when they want to for a day or two. There's nothing about this work, the way it's set up by Michael, that has the structure of a cult to it. And
I know that, but I'm just trying. I'm looking for maybe a one sentence response, because I do.
Well, I think that's it. The one sentence response, the first and most powerful one, would be, that has not been my experience of the work.
Yeah. Okay.
The next one is, just try it, and the last one would be, it's all being offered for free. There's no commitment. There's no membership. So I don't see how you could call it a cult.
If you have time, I wish you'd go to Angel Fire Network today on Facebook. I just posted a wonderful post from Europe from a friend of mine. I believe she's in Germany. And it's about psychic vampirism on children and how, and I'm like, oh, my God, that sounds like something Michael and Tim would be talking about. It sounds kind of, the title's kind of abrasive. But if you look at the 10-minute gig on it, it's really awesome, being an child abuse survivor. I'm like, wow, that just really says it all. So Don,
how do you want me to search for that on Facebook?
It's at facebook.com/Angel Fire Network, and it's open to the public worldwide. I had it in delete mode because I was on there too often, and I just gave myself permission to just do it when I feel like it. So,
Don?
Yeah?
I've got it up, and I'm actually looking for the artwork you mentioned. How would I?
Oh, that's at facebook.com/DonDavidArt. And if you scroll down, it's a girl in a red dress, screaming and crying with pharmaceutical pill bottles falling out of her pocket. And it is what it is. WorldwideHippies.com put it up on September 1st, 2013 in a gig they gave me right next to the Grateful Dead and Scooby-Doo. I was very honored. But so I know it's not a horrible, horrible image, but it did open up some wounds for people. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to rip open a scab and not offer up, you know, Wigan.org to help you. So that was, you know, my big question today. I tried to call in a couple days ago, but I was kind of perplexed because I don't know if Pamela Gorney has had this problem before at her forgiveness page, but I ran into it for the first time, and I thought, well, I do endorse you guys a lot, so I'd better kind of be prepared for that.
Okay, well, that's my best take on it, Don, and I appreciate that you're spreading Michael's work, and I hope that's useful for you.
It is. You guys are awesome, and I'll get off and let somebody else talk.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pam. Thanks, dear. Where's Jeannie?
Michael and Jeannie are in, yesterday they were visiting Fatima. They're in Portugal.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
All right, we've got another caller holding. This is area code 541. You're live, and if you could let us know who's calling.
Hi there. Hi, Michelle. I think you're doing a great job. This is Julie from Ashland, Oregon. Hi, Dr. Tim. You're doing a great job, too. Thank you. I'm calling for a quick little question, and I can take it off the air. I am working towards restarting my support group here in Ashland, and I've been wanting to for quite some time. And I have a question about what you do in the second hour of your support group, Dr. Tim. I need a little bit of format because I remember when I was doing the support group before, I had people do worksheets together. Everybody did their own, and then we would discuss, and maybe one of them would take the spotlight a little bit. And I was doing this to train them to how to do the worksheets because they weren't really doing them on their own, nor was I as much then. So this was a direct reflection, I know. So that's what I'd like to know. I want to get more clear on maybe if I do spotlight one person's worksheet, how would you suggest that work?
Well, it's an excellent question. Different groups do it different ways. What I have been doing for the past probably close to 8 years now is that we watch an hour of a video. Most of them are Dr. Michael Rice, 99.9% of them are Dr. Michael Rice's lectures. And then we have a short time to stretch and use the restroom and get a drink, and then we convene around a table. And I ask if anyone has any questions or comments about the lecture we just watched or worksheets they've done during the week or the lecture from the previous week. And we try to spend about a half an hour doing that because it's a 2.5-hour group. And then with close to 45 minutes left, I like to ask people if anybody in the group has a worksheet issue that they would like to work out loud with the support of the group. And sometimes we get a response that hands go up hesitantly. Sometimes they shoot up and people are in competition to see who can get their hand up the fastest because they really want help with a worksheet. And then we will have that person either have them read it or have me read it out loud and them supply the answers. And as we go through the worksheet, I'm explaining anything that anybody has questions on and clarifying the worksheet process. So it can take a half an hour because we're slowly going through it and we're repeating for those who have been there for many times, and we're explaining for the first time to some of the newbies what the words mean, why they're there, what the step in the process is for, how it lines up in the top part of the worksheet to specify what my conscious mind is doing and creating the problem. And Then in the lower part of the worksheet, how I create a goal, cancel the goal, and ask for help seeing what's behind the goal. And we work through it, and then we ask if anybody has questions or comments about that worksheet. And we ask the person how they're feeling, and we do some processing. Now, generally, before we start that worksheet, we announce to the rest of the group that they can either do their own worksheet on their own issue step by step as we go, or if they're new and they want to, they can take a blank worksheet, and let's say that John is doing a worksheet on how his 16-year-old ran away from home, and a new person, Jane, is visiting for the first time. She could take a blank worksheet, and she could fill it out as though she were John, writing in everything that John is telling us he's putting in each of the blanks. So now she goes home with John's worksheet as a template and another blank worksheet for herself to use, and now she's got a template for how to answer that. And she has John's description of what was going on and whatever little background story John provides as we work through the worksheet. Or Jane could say, oh, while John is doing a worksheet on his 16-year-old who ran away, I'll do a worksheet on how my mother always used to pick on me when I was 16 years old, or picked on me when I was 5. And in that way, we use most of the rest of the time of the group, either working through the worksheet or handling questions about the worksheet process. And then we try to wrap up about 9. Sometimes we run a little bit late. Sometimes a lot late if somebody's really in the middle of working on something. And what we find is that when any one individual in the room is working slowly through the worksheet and identifying the steps and allowing themselves to take time to presence love in that fourth step and visualize and get the healing energy of love flowing through them, and then thinking about the rose and the butterfly story before moving on, and when they're specifically formulating their goal accurately, and when they're specifically taking the time to cancel the goal and do the prayer or meditation work to ask for help to see what's underneath the goal, it benefits everyone in the room. And often, as happened a couple weeks ago when someone did a worksheet, it went back to a time when that person, who's now fully an adult, when she was 3 years old, and there was a trauma when she was 3 years old. Well, that was a lengthy worksheet process, and by the end of the group, no less than 6 different people in that room either spoke out directly or told me privately that what came up for them was traumas when they were 3, or traumas that their children had when the child was 3, or a trauma that happened to a sibling when the sibling was 3. So it stirs up the issues of everyone in the group who's willing to look at their own stuff and go there. So it really doesn't work out the way some people think, well, here's one person just monopolizing the group. It's always a benefit to everyone there whenever anybody is truly willing to do a piece of work with the forgiveness process and dismantle some energy from their system that's less than love. So I hope that helps, Julie. Are you still there?
Yes, I am. I was on mute. Thank you. Oh, that helps so much. Thank you. It's just great because, you know, I know you have some credentials and experience in the field of working with people, and I do too as a music teacher, but not quite in handling some of these really intimate things with people. I like how you ask if people would like to volunteer, you know, and gradually I think that probably builds a really safe space for others, you know, in consecutive weeks. It just opens up naturally like that.
And then there are times when they don't volunteer, and then that's when I do a worksheet on one of my issues out loud in front of the group, and I slow down and spell out the whole thing and work through the whole process.
Oh, wow, that's really good. Yeah. Yeah, wow. I could do that. I don't mind being vulnerable like that. I mean, it is the way. Being vulnerable with ourselves is what clears this stuff out. So,
well, I want to invite you to take a look at your use of the word vulnerable.
Okay.
Because I don't experience it that way at all.
Oh. Okay, well, I don't feel that that's a bad thing.
I experienced it as a great opportunity. And it happened just this past Tuesday, kind of by default, because as I was talking about something, I had tears come up. And so the group just decided, okay, Dr. Tim has tears come up. Let's have Dr. Tim do worksheets on the tears, a worksheet on the tears. But I often go into the group having been triggered earlier in the day, and because I'm involved with my work or seeing patients, if I haven't had time to do a worksheet, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to sit down and do a worksheet. And if nobody else volunteers, then it's even better, because then I get to do mine out loud in front of the group, and I usually get excellent input from other group members about what I might be not seeing so clearly. And my only experience ever with the group has been one of loving support and integrating energies that are off the mark and healing. And so when you say being vulnerable like that, it just doesn't resonate at all with what my experience has been.
Well, thank you. That open honesty and willingness to be authentic, I think, is what I meant by vulnerability. I don't see it as that. And so, you know, I guess intimate maybe with others. You know, I appreciate that as a strength. So thank you.
Okay, well, let me just suggest that you do a mind shifter or do some worksheets on the energy that was around that word being vulnerable like that.
Okay, I will. Yeah. Thank you. I will. Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Anything else we can help you with?
Not in this moment, but I'm okay. I'm listening to whoever's next.
All right. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Blessings.
Bye, Julie.
Bye.
Dr. Tim, I have had that experience in our group. Actually, someone earlier this week stated when they were encouraged to look at an issue or do a worksheet, I don't recall the what happened right before that, but they actually verbalized they didn't feel safe in that moment and they declined. So if you're newer to the work, maybe there could be a sense of risk or being exposed or uncomfortable with the transparency that is inherent in, you know, healing those dark wound.
And that would be an excellent thing to do a worksheet on.
Well, if the person isn't feeling safe, then, you know, it kind of becomes a barrier.
Right. They don't have to do the worksheet out loud in the group, but this tool would be the perfect thing to do that, to apply to that set of beliefs or energies or fears within inside of them.
Okay. Homework. You know, I was thinking a lot about when you were first talking about the gentleman who oh-no'd you when you were talking about meeting every Tuesday. And my brain cells went to addiction and the process of recovery. Primarily, that's a lot of the focus of my work. And that oftentimes they'll suggest a thing for AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, that's like 90 and 90, meaning you, to ensure a good start and foundation for your recovery, that you're attending an AA meeting every day for 90 days to begin to establish yourself in recovery. And similar to the process of forgiveness, there is like a recovery here too in terms of those healing those negative energies. And so I got to thinking, wow, that would be cool to go to a mind shifter group every day for 90 days and see what happens.
Yeah, that's similar to Michael's invitation at the end of the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, where he invites people to do 5 worksheets a day for 40 days.
Right.
The same knowledge about how long it takes to establish a habit and the time and intensity and vigilance needed to break an old habit are contained in both of those patterns.
Mm-hmm.
90 and 90 and 5 a day for 40 days.
So I know, people successfully in recovery for, 15, 20, 30 years, and they still go to their weekly AA meetings. And so, I mean, how is Mind Shifters any different? Always reinforcing and practicing your new belief system. So just sharing my thoughts here. We've got a couple people with their hands up, and I'm glad she called. I really wanted to be hearing from Joanna, and she was listening today, and now she put her hand up. So hello, Joanna from Hollister.
Well, hi there, Ladybug. How are you?
Good. It's so nice to hear your voice always.
I don't know Dr. Tim, but I will introduce myself. My name is Joanna Burdorf, and I live here in Hollister in Missouri. Have been friends with Michael for a long, long, many years. I found myself, I think this is a discussion about brain cells. I found myself invited to a very elegant social luncheon a few days ago with some ladies who I would call socialites. And I was invited because they are on the spiritual path, are considering themselves and me on the spiritual path. And spirituality is a new social star in your crown. If you're on the spiritual path, you're more socially acceptable in this group. And I was invited because they felt I was on the spiritual path. And the conversation turned to what was wrong with everybody else except those of us at the table. And it was a very interesting afternoon and a debate and discussion. And I found myself attempting to explain that perhaps all of society is moving into a different consciousness, a consciousness of love, and not in staying in their fear and hostility and having to separate yourself out as being more spiritual and therefore more socially acceptable. It was a very interesting afternoon, but I would love to hear some feedback on that. We're always talking about people who are in recovery or who are working on themselves, but I found myself paddling around in a pool of people who felt that they were so superior because they had discovered spirituality, and I found myself quite lost paddling in that pool. I have to admit that the luncheon was very heavy, and I eat very sparingly and very healthy now, and I was tremendously sick that night because I did try to be polite. So it's just something that might turn the conversation a bit.
Well, thank you for your call. I would have to say that whenever I encounter anyone who's speaking negatively about anyone or anything else, I do one of two things. I either release them to their negativity and move on, or I suggest that they pay attention to some of the greatest minds of our time and times long before ours, people like the Buddha and Yeshua and Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein said, if you think you are separated from or separate from anyone or anything, you're living in an optical delusion. So I cannot say a nasty negative word about anyone else without having it being directed directly, pointedly at me. And the other thing I'll tell you from some of the most solid spiritual teachings that have resonated well with me over the years is the following statement. I will never be upset about anything that anyone ever says and does or doesn't say or do that I think they should, unless I'm already judging myself negatively for having done the same or similar things. So whenever I'm upset about anybody else doing anything that's not right or that's off the mark, I'm simply expressing my dissatisfaction with myself. And whatever comes out of my mouth is going to tell you far more about what's going on inside of me than it is going to tell you about anything going on outside of me or anyone else I might think I'm talking about. So those are the comments I would have for you related to people who are choosing that kind of conversation.
So, Joanna, if you were invited over there to the party as a spiritual leader, how about taking the opportunity to school them on forgiveness?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
I did. I just offered this question because I think, you know, doing this radio show, I deliberately phrased my question that people are wondering where are we going with all of this? Where do you try to come out with all of this? And there has to be an end product, that your life becomes better, that my life becomes better if I continually look at myself and work on myself. And I was in no way pointing fingers. I was just being somewhat neutral and offering conversation for the radio audience. Nor did I find judgment with those girls. I offered them the suggestion that there is a better path, and that true spirituality is loving not only yourself, but loving others and moving into a different dimension, and that life is supposed to be a happy experience for all people. Did I answer you in a solid way, or did that come out wrong?
No, I got it. Heaven on earth, I think, is possible.
I find myself these days quite at peace, and quite content, and moving I have my little cat die the day before yesterday. She was 16 years old. I held her, the first person that held her when she was born, and I held her a day before yesterday when she passed. She'd given me a lot of love, and I miss her tremendously. And I have allowed myself to feel the absence of that love that she gave me. And I think that one of the things that we in this work is to permit ourselves to feel feelings. And it's all right to feel. It's okay to feel. Feelings are very good sometimes. They can point you in many good directions. I switch subjects there just a little bit, but I'm a little bit in grief and sad today, and it's a loss of a life, and that was connected to me, and I was connected to. So I'm just sharing that. I'm just yakking and taking up space, and I'll get off and shut up.
Joanna, we all connected with your cat at Heartland. What about the other animals, Dexter? I mean, do you notice the pets some showing emotional grief?
What was most interesting, when we were burying her and I had to call for help to dig the hole, her brother was named Spike, and Spike was a tomcat, and I think he fathered many cats in the neighborhood. And the yard had exactly 6 cats came to her funeral, and they all looked like maybe nephews or something of that dimension. The cats have disappeared, but they came while she was being buried. It was a very interesting thing to observe. And the young man who came to dig the hole was a 20-year-old young man. And I was standing there quite sad, because, and then the other person who came to help me was a very macho person. But as they were pulling out of the driveway, the person who came back was the 20-year-old whose father has just been deployed to Afghanistan. And he put his arms around me and hugged me, and he said, "I'm sorry your baby died." And I thought, the younger generation, I think, are beginning to catch on that we need to love each other. We need to have compassion for each other. And it was a tear-jerking thing. And the kitties stayed all afternoon, and I haven't seen any of those cats. It's very interesting.
No, they came to pay their respects.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Thank you for sharing that.
And talking about Dexter, who is a little dog, he hardly ever gives me love, but he slept with me that night. So night before last. So that was good. Animals do have feelings, and we are all connected. All of life is connected.
Thank you
Bless
for sharing.
You. I
would
you.
Encourage you to release or cancel or dismantle the negative thoughts about your babbling on or taking up space. Your calls are welcome, and they're always informative. And I appreciate your recent loss, and I'm breathing with you, and sending love, extending the energy of love, and holding
Thank
the space
you.
For you.
I bless you, too, and I love you both. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your call. It's a delight.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Love you.
Bye.
So, Michelle, do we have anybody else with their hand up?
We do. We've got 12 minutes here, and so let's check in for a little bit with Sunny. Hi, Sunny.
Hello there.
Yeah, you're on.
Yes. I'm on a different receiver. I just didn't know if you could hear me clearly. I just kind of wanted to, with Don David and some of the confirmations of what we were discussing today, kind of share my little revelation, and that the expression that Michael and, we all use is all of the above. And it finally occurred to me that when we're referring to all of the above, it's not always necessarily all of the above in Michael's program and all of the worksheets and the website, but it is finally, through all of everything that I've experienced, the stress, the duress, all of the growth over these many months, nearly a year now, is that all of the above for me has become the realization of anything and everything that has ever served me and nurtured me spiritually, and complementing again this work of how this work pulls all of that together to where it makes sense. And this family on the radio show of how we are finally, in our lifetime, supported and even nurtured through this radio show on a daily basis of every spiritual concept and precept that we've let go of somewhere on our path or anything like that. It really helps me to to gain that perspective. And I don't know if that makes sense to anyone else. It's really, you know, I found myself, my own experience was letting go of everything else and focusing solely on this work. And then it just made sense to me that, you know, I was being very, you know, hard on myself, if you will, and very rigid in, until it dawned on me that all of the above and some of the things that I had to process through were just relaxing and being more in acceptance. And then it just dawned on me that, yes, this work, these worksheets help us to really pull into perspective that aspect of one spirituality and concept of God must support you and not negate you in any way. And I'm very, very grateful. And then sharing with this last caller of, you know, the little thing of our pets and our animals, my little kitty last Friday when she went into labor really expressed dragging her adult kitten through the house by the under part of her chin and just literally dragging her while she was in labor between birthing. And she couldn't get that cat to stay by her. And so I spent from 1:30 that afternoon until 12:30 midnight cross-legged on my kitchen floor by her side, because every time I left her, she would cry. And in fact, she did lose 3 out of 5 of her kittens in delivery, and each one that she brought forth, she would nudge it with her paw and then look to me very endearingly and affectionately and meow, like, is this one okay? And she really knew and needed to not be alone and be loved and supported in as much as any human being might have. So for folks and their considerations over every living creature, it was just the most beautiful and profound experience to share that with her. And, hopefully that comforts anyone. There's been a couple people mentioning their pets, their cats specifically, and just kind of wanted to share that because where I might have been triggered, I wasn't, thanks to this work. And
thank you for that sharing, and keep up the good work of all of the above. As you say, it's a tremendous gift to be able to move past the roadblocks and actually pick up the tools and use them. So thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Thank you all, and have a wonderful weekend.
All right, you too.
Bye, Sunny.
Bye-bye.
So, Michelle, do we have anybody else with their hand up?
Not right now.
Do you have any questions, concerns, comments, or brilliant ideas to share with us?
In 7 minutes. How about 5? Maybe you could just comment on this quickly, because it occurred to me yesterday. I had received several texts from different clients, and they were all very appreciative and very positive and very loving and very thankful and just rather overwhelming. And I was filled with joy and pride and positive energy, and it actually brought me to tears. Because I was feeling so good about the work I was doing, the work I was doing with the clients, and then their feedback letting me know how much they valued it. So because it was pretty intense, it occurred to me that I remember along the way the discussion about doing worksheets on positive feelings. And when I started thinking about that, kind of got lost in, well, why would you want to do that, or why would you need to do that, and isn't this what we're moving towards, to have that joy, peace, harmony all the time, and I've got a bite of it, and what would be the point of a worksheet? So I note to self, ask them tomorrow.
All right, well, I have an idea for you, or 12.
We only got 5 minutes.
Are you ready? Sit down, buckle up, here it comes. Well, in the first place, thank you for being willing to share. And in the second place, let me just say that those texts that you got, those affirmations, those thank yous, did not cause you to feel happy. That's the first and perhaps the most important point. The next thing is to pay attention to how you chose, out of all the things that you could be paying attention to during the day, the 20 trillion bits of information available in each moment, you chose to focus on certain aspects of those texts and arrange them in your mind in such a way to stir up good feelings about you. The next thing is to take a look at how different the feelings you had going through you were prior to reading those texts to what was the feelings you had going through you after you sat with the thoughts about those texts.
Okay, I follow you.
And then the question is, why aren't you feeling that good all the time?
I knew you were going to get there. Okay.
And then
I'll do it.
Another step is to take a look at how, if I'm feeling exalted because somebody chose to do their work, and then they chose to give me credit for their work, that's kind of goofy. That's a technical term. And if I'm really in the space that's accurately observing how things go, I realize I don't even know how I digested the breakfast food I ate. I certainly didn't figure out how to get somebody else to heal or integrate energy or pick up the tools. That was their work. So it's a nice little pleasant thing to do when people thank me for being so powerful in my therapy that I transformed their life and all that other mishmash. But I know none of it's true. And the evidence of how none of it is true is contained in my daily life and the thousands of people I've said almost exactly the same things to who haven't chosen to pick up the tools or who have used their conscious awareness in the moment to pick a different 9 bits of information and actually be offended by something I said. So if I step back and take a few breaths, and I actually observe what's going on, I realize I'm not healing anyone. And anybody who wants to give me credit for healing them or helping them heal is misperceiving and stepping out of their own creativity. So those are just some thoughts. I know we're about to get the 90-second nod here to wrap up the show. But perhaps the most powerful one would be, Michelle, how is it that you're not living with the full conscious awareness that you are the energy of creation and the energy of love? And the worksheets would be on that, as well as unraveling the sense of a need for outside validation in order to feel good. And with that, we'll invite you to come back on Monday and all 5 days next week and bring a friend and have the best year yet of your eternal life.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.